Hey, has lichen sclerosis messed with your relationships? You know, partner, family, friends, even at work? Then you need to join us at the Holistic Healing Summit this May 13th to the 17th, because we're bringing all the experts. We're going to be talking about intimacy, sex, as well as how do you talk to your family, friends, provider, boss? All of those things. And this is a free event, live, virtually, so you can catch it anywhere in the world, May 13th to the 17th, from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. We've got sessions going on all day. Get more information at lssupportnetwork.org/WHS. That's lssupportnetwork.org/WHS.
Hey, welcome. Thank you for coming to listen to the Lichen Sclerosis Podcast. My name is Kathy, and this is our journal of learning about and living with lichen sclerosis. Each week, I either research or speak to someone about an aspect of lichen sclerosis and bring you the information, so you don't have to go searching. I bring you the real talk without the medical jargon. And this week, we're going to see how stress, extreme stress, can trigger LS. We're talking to one of the members of my private group, the LS Warriors, and her name is Jennifer. If you want more information on the LS Warriors, go to lssupport.net/LS Warriors, and you'll read all about them. Jennifer has an amazing story. In a matter of just a couple of years, she went through almost losing her life twice and then helping to nurse her husband back from cancer. And through all of this, she had an insistent itch that just got worse the more and more stress was added into her life. She is an amazingly courageous and brave woman who never gave up. And I cannot wait for you to hear her story, because it is truly an act of self-love, advocacy, and strength. Because she went through all of that and still kept on going, and she's still smiling, and she's an amazing person. I want to thank our sponsor, Lichen Sclerosis Support Network, for making the podcast possible. LSSN is a group of creators bringing information, education, support, and most importantly, hope to people with LS. You can help support our sponsor by following them on Facebook and Instagram at Lichen Sclerosis Support Network. And stay tuned to the end, because they have another project coming in a couple of weeks. And I have a few other announcements. So, without further ado, here's my conversation with Jennifer.
This information is for educational purposes and does not constitute medical advice. Speak to your medical provider before making any changes to your care.
Let's talk about, when did you start having symptoms?
I started having symptoms in 2017. Okay. That I can really remember. And it's funny, because I know, like, we talk a lot about, when did you start noticing? Maybe there were some things before that, you know, that, ooh, maybe that was a little something. So I've been reflecting on that a lot lately. And I do think that I did have some subtle symptoms before that. But 2017 was when I really started to notice that something was off. I was 31.
What were those symptoms?
Just a lot of itching. I had a ton of itching and a ton of just irritation. Just, I noticed that something just didn't feel right, but it was extremely itchy.
Did you have anything else, like fissures or anything else yet?
I did begin to have some little tears or scratches, I guess you could say, but I don't know if that was from it itself or if that was from me scratching myself all the time.
That's exactly how I feel. I'm like, were the tears from me scratching or were they fissures?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which came first?
Yeah. Because I would catch myself all the time and I'd be like, ooh, you know, don't scratch too hard. And
Exactly. How has this been for you mentally? Because that was all physical. But mentally, I know that having that constant irritation and then you're in this state alone with this itch, how was that? And how are you doing now?
It was not good. It was not good. I didn't talk to anybody about it, except for my husband, because my husband obviously knew that I was in a tremendous amount of pain and discomfort and just going crazy. I was irritable. I would get frustrated over the littlest thing. Don't bother me. Don't talk to me. Leave me alone. It's hard to say I'm itchy there all the time because we were, you know, it's you probably just have a yeast infection. You just need to go get medicine. You'll be fine. Not a big deal. And when I did eventually start to tell people, even some of my close friends, it's not their fault because they don't understand. They didn't understand. They were just like, well, you know, it's probably just something that you got going on and you got to get it taken care of. And I was just like, no, this is like really bad. Yeah. And and then I eventually also told my office mate, who is a guy. He's in the office on right next door. He's amazing, though. He's got a wife and two young daughters. So he deals with things like this and emotions and all this stuff. But for him, he was there for me during with my husband with cancer, with me going through all this. I told him when I had my biopsy done. But yeah,
him and your husband were pretty much the only support system you had.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I finally told my mom, and my mom said that she had wished that I had told her sooner. And I said, well, I didn't really know what to say. And so when I told her about the biopsy and everything with the episiotomy scar, she asked a lot of really good questions. And so I appreciated that too. It was just hard. It was just hard to say. And I talk about this too a lot when I talk about infertility, that us as women, we're not allowed to talk about these things. Because like you said, people consider them a taboo. Ooh, we don't talk about that. The other thing, too, that I started to notice when I finally did start feeling better was I was like, I want to go out and do stuff because I wouldn't want to go do anything. I wouldn't want to go take my daughter to the park and I wouldn't want to go do anything. So like we went camping and we would go out and go for walks. And so I finally felt, okay, I'm able to do these things now. Let's go do them.
Right. I noticed that too. I went through some self-isolation just because you are uncomfortable and you're just not in the mood to be around other people and they're moving around freely and you're constantly thinking of your vulva and who the hell's having fun doing that? So you definitely. What's your support system like now?
So now it's great. I was featured in a post on the Vulvar Cancer Awareness Instagram page.
And I'm going to link that in the show notes so everybody else can see that.
Yeah. They said, anybody who has dealt with either vulva cancer or lichen sclerosis, send us your story. We can feature you on our page. So I did that and I shared it on mine. And I got so many messages from girls I haven't talked to since high school. Wow. Saying, thank you for talking about this. Thank you for bringing awareness to this. I've never heard of this before.
That's awesome.
Yeah, type of messages. And I have people asking me how I'm doing, how are my issues doing. Great. And so it's great. It's much, much better now. And this group too. I honestly cannot tell you how I found your podcast, but I found it somehow. And I was just so happy that I was like, this is really cool. This is really cool that this is available out here because still to this day, I'm the only person that I know in my family and in my group of friends who has anything like this. Nobody else has anything like this.
I know you originally came to one of, what was it? I think it was the first virtual meetup that I did back in November, right? No.
I came to the second one.
You came in December. And for the ladies who've never been, what was that like?
It felt like there was finally a sense of community in something that I had felt so alone in for so long. Even before I knew what it was, I was like, and I even asked my doctor at one point, I was like, am I the only woman that you've ever seen that has dealt with anything like this? Yeah. You know, like, am I the first woman to have this documented? Am I a rare case? And she was like, no, you're not. And I was like, oh, okay, that's good. But
where are they? So I can talk to
where
them.
Where are they? Absolutely. Yeah. And so, yeah, between that and some of the other ladies in a couple of the Facebook groups, it's great. But with yours, it's nice to see ladies' faces and hear about where they're from, because you and I live in the United States, yeah. And there are women from other countries.
All over the world.
All over. And I think that's amazing that we get to hear the stories and the questions about all the different steroids that we can possibly use and the different healthcare systems that we have to deal with.
Yes.
And even just hearing the other symptoms, too, from some of the ladies.
And it's amazing to me a lot of the time, too, that even though there's a woman from across the planet, how similar some of the stories are. Even if you're in Sweden or Germany, you're still going through the same stuff that we do in Canada and the U.S. And it's sad because there's got to be somewhere on the planet where they got this shit on lock.
I know.
We can't all be behind on this. And if that's the case, we have got to make some major changes and fast. So, yeah, I'm hoping with us doing this and sharing our stories and putting the word out and letting the medical professions know what we're feeling, what we're dealing with, that they start making changes.
Yeah, absolutely. Even if there would be some sort of, I don't know if you would call it a questionnaire or a screening or just some sort of, if you recognize any of these symptoms,
yes,
let us know because we can test you for this. Yeah.
Absolutely. Some kind of guidelines, some kind of base guidelines or something like that. Yeah, absolutely. So after that virtual meetup, you joined the LS Warriors group.
I did.
Which is just now starting to go public. This has been our private little oasis for a few months.
Yeah.
And how was that for you? What was the difference from being in the Facebook groups to being in this particular group?
It's really great because I like that it's on its own platform. I guess you would call it a platform, website, whatever it is. And it's just really
social
cool.
Media.
Yes, it's off social media. We can chat. And I know that you put in there, there's no TMI here because we talk about things that you definitely would not put on your social media pages because they're very private things. But we can ask each other questions and advice.
Yeah.
And I love your keeping us accountable things as well, because this past week in particular, but the past couple of weeks that I've been in it, it's nice to talk to other people about goals that you've set and things that you've done. And I know I talked about on there about how COVID has just been so hard on everybody. Mm. And we really just need to take care of ourselves. And I should have talked to somebody a long time ago about all the stuff I've been through for the past 7 years. And I never did. I never went to a therapist. I never saw anybody. I barely talked about it right after it happened. Mm-hmm. And so I am starting some mental health counseling through a local organization. And Yes, I know. And you and a couple of the other ladies said, I highly recommend counseling because it's helpful. And a good friend of mine who went through something pretty traumatic about a year ago has been doing it, and she recommended the organization to me. And so I am starting that soon, and I think it's going to be good to just figure it all out and cope with all this still. And
absolutely. Yeah, yeah, I definitely, I recommend some kind of counseling or therapy for anybody who has been diagnosed with lichen sclerosis, because you are going to go through a series of emotions, and you're going to go through first the shock of the fact that you now have this, you know, lifelong disease, and you have to make accommodations, and then finding out all of the information, and that can be overwhelming, in the anxiety of not knowing, because a lot of the times you're sent out of the doctor's office with just a prescription and not much else, and you have to go and find this information, and God forbid you go down the wrong hole, the wrong internet hole, and now you're in this place where you're seeing all these horrendous pictures and all these stories, and you're like, oh my God, my life is over as I know it. And especially us as younger women, we still have many sexual years ahead of us, many years where we're still in the prime of our lives, or some of the women haven't even got there yet.
Yep.
And that can be so overwhelming.
You are so right, because that has gone through my head a lot. I thought to myself, holy crap, I was 33 when I was diagnosed. I'm 35 now. And I just like, I was like, wait a second. This is how this is going to be for the rest of my life. Like how, and then I got angry, and then I got jealous. Oh, I get so jealous over talking about other things with other women or reading other things. And I'm just like, oh no, this is not okay. It is. It's very overwhelming. The anxiety of it all. You think, how am I going to deal with this forever?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm so proud of you for seeking counseling and taking that step, because it is a huge step to be vulnerable enough to open up to somebody and to just be willing to have that conversation. So kudos to you. And for those who don't know, in the membership, I post every Monday motivation, and we set goals for the week. On Wednesdays, I do a midweek check-in, see how everybody's doing. And then Friday, I follow up and see how everybody did on their goals. So that's what she was talking about as far as keeping everybody accountable. And yeah, it's not just LS goals. It's life goals, too. Because our group is not just about LS. It's about life, because LS is not our life. And that's one of the major takeaways that I want anyone who's listening to this podcast, is that LS is not your life. LS is just a little part of your life that you need to take care of. And then you have the other 95% of your life that means so much more. So at that time, did you have any pain with sex?
Yeah, I had pain a lot after I had my daughter. I had my daughter when I was 28 years old, and I had a very traumatic labor and birth. So after that, things were just always off and uncomfortable. And yeah, it was pretty messy for a while, you could say. First of all, I had a very hard time getting pregnant. It took me a little over a year to get pregnant. And it turned out that my body doesn't produce enough progesterone. That was finally discovered. That was the reason for my infertility. So I had to go on supplements and all that jazz, yada, yada, yada. Fast forward, I get pregnant. The pregnancy went very well for the most part. I had a pretty normal pregnancy. I was in labor for 28 hours, a little over 28 hours.
God bless you.
Yes. And I finally had her after this 28-hour labor, and I hemorrhaged really bad after I had her, like right after I had her. That was very traumatic, and so there's a lot going on down there with that. I also had an episiotomy, a sideways angled one, not one straight down. I had one to the side. So I had that, and that was taken care of. Thankfully, I had an OB. She was amazing. She saved my life. She's
Because women die from that all the time.
All the time. Oh, it's absurd how many times, how many women die from hemorrhaging. God. So that happened right after I had her. And then I hemorrhaged again at home in my bathroom alone 6 weeks postpartum.
Oh my God.
Yes. And so I was rushed to the hospital for that. And she was also working that night. Save my life again.
God, she's like your guardian angel.
Oh my goodness. I know. And it turned out that I had retained placenta, and she believes that it was from a rare condition called placenta accreta, which is where the placenta goes deep into your uterus too far. So when it's pulled, it pulls the uterus and then it causes a hemorrhage. So all of that happened.
So you had a lot of trauma down there that you probably attributed the pain to that, not
absolutely
to the LS.
Yes, absolutely. Because I had an emergency DNC that night. I tore during the emergency DNC, and she told me that afterwards, after I was awake, she explained to me, she said that she was very apologetic. She said, I'm sorry, you tore. I had to stitch you up. That normally doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. So here I was, my episiotomy was still healing 6 weeks later. It was pretty much healed up, but it was still healing. But then I tore again right next to it.
And you know what? Looking back, the way that LS inflames our skin and makes it so that it doesn't have the elasticity that we need, you may have had some semblances of the LS even back then that made your skin kind of fragile and tending to tear, you know?
Yeah, easier.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you didn't notice the signs until 3 years later, that might have been an underlying condition that made that even worse.
Yeah, I wonder that too, because after all, that was when I had either painful or uncomfortable sex. It took a while for me to get comfortable with it again. And I just attribute it to, I went through a lot of trauma down there. Yeah.
So 3 years after giving birth now, you're noticing this intense itching. When did you first go to the doctor?
I went to go see my doctor for my annual. Okay. And at that point, it wasn't terrible, but I just said, hey, I've got some itching going on. I don't know. Do I have an ingrown hair? Do I have something? Because it's only on one side. And it was just, it would just happen every so often. And she said, no, I don't see anything. Everything looks fine. Just keep an eye on it. And I said, okay. And her and I have a very good rapport, a very good relationship because of everything that I went through. Yeah, and I've been her, yeah. And I've been her patient for a long time, almost 10 years now. And so I call her when I need her, or I message her on the patient portal if I need her and whatever else. So I said, okay, no problem. So after I saw her, I was still experiencing itching no matter what I did.
How much later?
There was a big gap in between here because in between that, my husband was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Oh.
So here I was dealing with this. And then
now you have to take care of him.
Now I had to take care of him. And so I put me on hold completely.
All the time we do that. When it comes to our family,
absolutely,
we take the back seat. We'll take care of us after they're good.
Yeah.
I feel you.
Yeah. And it wasn't as intense as it soon got after that. So I was like, okay, I can handle this. I got this. And so he was diagnosed with lymphoma in December of 2017. And while he was going through treatments, this would have been my next annual. I believe it was April of 2018 was when my next appointment was. Okay. And I said the same thing. I said, I'm still dealing with this itching. Are you sure there's nothing there? Because I trust her with my life. I said, are you sure there's nothing there? Is there anything I can do? And she said, no. She said, I don't see anything. Everything looks fine. I've never missed an appointment in my life. No test results ever came up that anything looked abnormal at all. And so she said, you're stressed. Things are tough. And at that point, I had also seen her physician's assistant. Mm-hmm. So I didn't always see her.
Okay.
And the physician's assistant would say the same thing.
So they put it off to the stress is manifesting itself in this itch, like it's in your head.
Yep.
Okay. During this time while your husband is fighting cancer, did you notice that the itching got worse?
It got way worse.
So like as your stress level went up, the itching got way more intense.
way. It started to get really bad when I went to my annual in 2018. Mm-hmm. And I carried on and moved on, and it kept going on worse and worse. And my husband finished his treatment in the middle of June. At that point, it got debilitating. I was thinking about it 24/7. And so then, of course, you look it up online and you freak yourself out because you can possibly have vulvar cancer.
Right.
And so I basically convinced myself that is what I had.
Been there.
Yep. And so I went back that in at the end of June and I saw the physician's assistant and she said the same thing. She said, I really don't see anything, Jen. She said, I'm really sorry. I don't see anything. She goes, both sides look great. So she said, here's what I want you to do. She said, I want you to just really pay attention to things. She goes, if you get sweaty, change your underwear. If you're wearing tight pants, take a break wearing tight pants. Try wearing no underwear. Try soaking in warm water. And then she also told me that I could try a diaper rash cream. She said, try some diaper rash cream and see if maybe that at least alleviates it. Try all of that. Mm-hmm. And we'll go from there. So I said, okay. And I tried everything that she said. I changed my underwear. I still do, obviously, but a lot. Like I pay really close attention to it. And I think to myself, okay, am I getting a little too sweaty? Do I maybe need to change my underwear?
You're focused on it even more.
All the time. All the time. And I tried Desitin. I tried Triple Paste. I tried Aquaphor. I tried the one, it's pink, Calmeceptine, which I don't recommend. That one was very uncomfortable. It's pink and it
Is that like menthol. The calamine? Oh, okay.
It has menthol in it. Oh. So it like tingles. And so when you put tingly, oh goodness, it was
not
bad
news. Not a good combination. Mm-mm. Oh my goodness.
It was bad news. And then I also started getting obsessed with plucking my hair because I thought that it was related to my hair. And so I thought to myself, okay, if she can't see anything and none of these over-the-counter things are working, I would sit on my bed at night and I would pluck to see if it would help. And it did not. And it did not.
Oh, how painful that has to be. So just thinking about it, my little labias are like,
yeah. And I look back on it now and I think to myself, what a crazy person I must have looked like to my husband and my daughter. And my husband used to like help me. I'd be like, did I get a hair? Can you help me get this hair? When I would sit there with a mirror and I would look and.
Yeah, that was my next question. Were you looking? Were you constantly looking?
Constantly. All the time. I would. Absolutely, I would do that.
So, of course, while you're doing this, helping your husband, now your stress is even higher.
Crazy.
Which I'm sure then took your symptoms even worse, intense.
Even worse. So it was crazy. So
your itching wasn't just like the typical itching when you're like when we lay down to go to sleep. Your itching was
constant.
Oh, my God.
All the time. I would try to figure out some sort of position where I could maybe sit and it wouldn't bother me. And I would catch myself. I would wake myself up in the middle of the night. I would catch myself scratching and I would say, okay, you can't scratch anymore. Again, just attributed it to stress and everything we had been through.
So your husband is now in remission?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, perfect. So he was in remission before you went back in June, right?
He finished his treatment right before I decided to go back. He's been great for 2 years now. Good. But it was awful. Here I was, 30.
A new mom.
30-something years old.
Toddler. Jeez.
Absolutely. And I was dealing with my daughter and figuring out what to do with her because it's just three of us.
Right.
But she couldn't be near him if she was sick. If I was sick, we couldn't be near him.
Right.
He would go to treatments every other Friday. And so on those Fridays where he had to go, everything had to be mapped out. I had to write everything down, We had to figure out a schedule. My mom and my mother-in-law helped us a ton. Thank goodness that we have had them here. And one of her preschool teachers, also shout out to Miss Ashley, took care of her any day I needed her to. Thank goodness for Miss Ashley. Yeah, she's fantastic. So I just attributed everything to that.
Are you also working outside of the home at this
time? I am. Oh. I am indeed. I am indeed. And my job also requires me to travel quite a bit. So I was also traveling.
Oh, my goodness. Take us to the day when you got the diagnosis.
All right. I went through all of 2018 being absolutely miserable. Okay. At one point, she tested me for a bunch of things. She tested me for herpes, simplex 1 and 2.
Okay.
Those came back negative. And she tested me for Epstein-Barr, cytomegalovirus, and a bunch of other things because she also thought that those could attribute to this.
Of course, yeast.
As well. Uh-huh. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. She did. Yeah, cultures came back negative. The only thing was at one point it did come back for group strep B, but she was like, that's not really a concern. She goes, I don't think that would cause this intense itching that you are showing me where this itching is. She goes, I don't think strep B would cause this.
And so you're still only having it on one side of the labia?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Okay. Yep, my left side. Yep. Went back to see her in April of 2019. And this was when she said, okay, now I'm starting to see something. And this has been bothering you for quite a while now. This was my OBGYN. She said, point out the spot for me again. And I pointed. And she was like spreading the skin apart. And I was like, it's right there. And she was like, yeah. She was like, I see something. And she described it as like a white, pilly sort of looking skin. And I said, okay, so what's that? And she said, and she said, there is something called lichen sclerosis. And I think you have a spot that has it. She called it a lichen component. And she said, I think you have a spot that has a lichen component. She goes, and that would explain this horrible itching that you've had for so long.
At least she knew about it, which is amazing because so many ladies go to doctors and they don't even know. So that's good.
Yeah. So and through my research, of course, convincing myself that I had vulvar cancer, I did read up quite a bit on lichen sclerosis. Okay. So I said to her, I said, okay, so what can we do? And she said, I'm going to give you a steroid. And she looked it up just to make sure that it was the right one that she wanted to give me. I have a lot of allergies. I'm allergic to some families of antibiotics, and I'm also allergic to coconut and coconut oil, which is recommended sometimes for LS and for lube. And so I can't use that. And so she wanted to make sure that it was something that wasn't going to bother me and something that would help. So she put me on betamethasone ointment. And she said, I'm going to put this in for you today. I want you to put it on twice a day for 2 weeks. And then if it alleviates your symptoms, then I want you to go down to once a day for a week. And then if that still is fine, I want you to go to over-the-counter hydrocortisone once a day, every day.
Okay.
And it eventually did help. In the meantime, though, right after I had my appointment with her, we went on a trip to my sister. She lives in New York City. And so we went to go visit her, me and my husband and my daughter and my parents. Okay. So here I was in the middle of starting this steroid ointment. And when you go to New York City, you don't sit and you
That's
walk.
That's right. You're walking everywhere.
You
That's
walk right. everywhere. So after that trip, I was in so much pain. I not only had the itching on the left side, but then I developed a small ulcer on the right side from all the walking and everything that we did. And it was hot and then it was cold. It was a weird April weekend. And so it was just, I was a mess. I was a mess. But when I got home from the trip, I soaked every night because it alleviated a lot of the pain I was having.
Yeah.
And then I used the steroid, like she said, and it did take away the itching. Thank goodness. That's good.
And then the ulcer just alleviated itself as well.
Yeah, I assumed that the ulcer was related to the LS. I thought to myself, okay, this has been going on for so long. I walked around New York City for 4 days. This is my LS. I'll take care of it. Mm-hmm. Okay. It slowly started to go away. So I actually went to go back to see her again a couple months later. And she said, I don't think this is related to the LS. I think this is just a fluke, whatever the case may be. And the ulcer did heal.
Okay.
But the spot that the ulcer was in would sort of ache is really the best way that I can explain it. And when I went to go back to see her again, she just loves me causing a ruckus. And it actually isn't related to my LS. This is something totally different. And so it was weird that this all happened over the course of just a couple of years. It would ache the week after my period. Like it would just ache. It was very odd and whatever else. And at this point, I was still using my hydrocortisone every day. And she said, if you start to get a flare, you can use the betamethasone. Anytime I started to get a flare, I would use the betamethasone and it would take care of it. Mm-hmm. So I went to go see her. It was actually exactly a year ago. It was in January of 2020. Okay. And she said, I'm just as sick of this as you are. I'm going to do a biopsy. Are you okay with that if I do it today? And I said, absolutely. It is what it is at this point. And so the biopsy came back with basically just chronic severe irritation and inflammation. She started to look up a couple other things, tested me for a couple more things, and she came to the conclusion that she believes I also have episiotomy scar endometriosis. She said the cyclic pain with your period and the episiotomy scar and the trauma and everything going on down there, she said, I think that this is what this is. Wow. So to take care of that, she has me skip my period every other month using birth control.
Okay.
So that way I don't have the flare from that spot. Right. And that has helped that as well as my LS. I rarely have flares anymore from my LS by doing that.
Oh, that's perfect. So now you've healed. Are you still having pain with sex?
Not as much as I was. No, I only do every so often now. It's not, thank goodness, an every time occurrence type of thing like it was in the beginning. No, things have gotten much, much better.
Better.
Yeah.
Now, did you ever tear with sex or was it just painful?
I did tear.
Okay.
Yeah, I tore near where I had my episiotomy, actually. Yeah, right. I would always, yeah.
Which is
I would
what, tear closer there. To the perineum?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's generally where everybody tears. Okay. So as of today, you're still using the hydrocortisone daily. Mm-hmm. And then when you flare, you use the betamethasone?
Yep.
Looking back, what do you wish you had done differently or that you had known? Or do you think, you know what, I did everything that I could have done and it just is what it is?
I think I did try as hard as I could. I mean, so I saw someone or talked to someone.
Still took you, what, almost 3 years to get diagnosed?
Yeah. So even if you say 2017 was very subtle. So even if we start with 2018, I saw them for my annual. I went back again. So I saw them 4 times in the course of a year and a half, all while dealing with all of this. I wish that maybe we could have tried something a little sooner because the itching got so, so bad. I can still remember there was one night when I was laying in bed. I said, I literally can't function. I was going bananas. Mm. I went to go lay down in bed and I just had to curl up and just lay there to try and just not have it scratch and not do anything yet and not move so that it wouldn't bother me as much. And I don't know, it was just, yeah, it was literally driving me insane.
So while you were at work, how did you cope? Because you said this is constant.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you do while you were at work?
I would suck it up as best as I could. I would, if I wasn't traveling, I do have a small office that has its own door. So I do have like my own little room and I can close the door and be private. And so I would do that. I would close the door and I would just wiggle in my chair and go to the bathroom as much as I possibly could.
The itching has never moved on to any other places.
It's just the left side. It wasn't happy for some reason. But I also find it interesting that I didn't have any other symptoms because you hear about the fusing.
The progression. The progression of the LS. And listening to your story, though, there kind of was a progression. But the fact that you have been constantly going back and saying, listen, we still got to keep looking at this, made it so that she caught it as soon as that white skin started showing up.
Yeah.
So maybe the fact that you caught it right at the beginning of the next stage, you've stopped it in its tracks, and constantly keeping up with your medication has pushed it back in its place and you're just holding it back. So maybe you were on your way, and if you weren't so vigilant, you might be worse. So good for you. Kudos for you.
I know. And from my perspective, I felt like a crazy person and that I was not bothering her and her staff.
Yeah.
Because you go on Facebook and there's Facebook groups and you go and you read other stories. And there are some women who have, and you know this already, but there are some women who have dealt with these symptoms for decades. If I had dealt with this for decades, I don't know what I would. I don't know what I would do. I couldn't even handle a couple of years.
So thank you so much for sharing your story. This has been amazing. So if there's anybody who wants to reach out to you to maybe ask you any questions about LS or your epididymis scar endometriosis, where can they reach you?
They can reach me on either Instagram or Twitter. And my handle is the same for both of those. And it's at Jen Pantala. So JenPantala.
Perfect. And I will definitely have that in the show notes. And you can look for that at lichensclerosispodcast.com/Jen. J-E-N. I will see you in the membership, Miss Jennifer. And thank you once again.
Thanks for having me.
She's such a beautiful person. I love that she's always smiling, that she's always laughing through it all. And I'm loving the fact that she has been inspired to seek counseling, because I truly believe that it's going to make a huge difference in her life. If stress is one of your triggers, which I'm starting to believe stress is a trigger for all of us, but if you find that stress maybe triggered your LS, or maybe you know that you're going to have a flare whenever you get stressed, shoot me an email or a DM and let me know. What do you do to manage your stress? Tell me the story. I want to hear about it. You can email me at Kathy with a K at lichensclerosispodcast.com, or find me on Instagram and shoot me a DM. That's probably the easiest and best way to get in touch with me. And we can talk. I love it. Or even better, talk to me in person, virtually, of course, at the Lichen Sclerosis Support Virtual Meetups. We meet every other Saturday from 2 to 4 and 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's free. We have fun. It's just a way to get around other people who understand what you're going through and can support you. You always come around with a tip or some kind of information that'll help you just to live a little bit healthier and make life a little easier. So you can sign up at lssupport.net/connect. All of this information will be in the show notes. So you can look on your podcast app. It should be there, or you can go to the website at lichensclerosispodcast.com/Jen, J-E-N. As promised, LSN has a new project coming out. On April 19th, we are launching a searchable provider database. Okay. I'm so excited to get this out. It's been, honestly, it's been almost a year in the works, And I'm just so happy. I'm grateful. And I want to say thank you to Jacqueline, because if it wasn't for her, it probably would be another 6 months or longer to get it out. So go and give Jacqueline some support. Make sure you're signed up for her blog, The Lost Labia Chronicles. You can do that. Again, the link will be in the show notes. Or you can go straight to lssupport.net/join-TLLC. If you're not signed up, you really need to be, because she has such amazing insight and she is such an inspiration for all of us, and me included. So definitely go out and do that. And I hope you have an amazing week. And I will see you next time. Bye.